Our Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 58, and I'm going to be reading 1 through 9, verses 1 through 9 of Isaiah 58. Listen for God's holy word. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and announce to my people their rebellion, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances, the laws of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. They say, "Why do we fast? But you, God, you do not seem to see. Why do we humble ourselves? But you do not notice." I say, look, you serve your own interest on your fast days, and you oppress your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and to not hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." And our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Listen for God's holy word. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. And you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you never will enter the kingdom of heaven. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is a famous passage we have from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus begins this passage by telling his friends, the disciples, whom he has taken with him up on a mountainside to teach them. He starts off by saying, "You are the salt of the earth." You are the salt of the earth. Those of us who grew up in the church heard this over and over again. You are the salt of the earth. It is familiar words that we hear from Jesus. And this morning we're going to reflect for a while about what it means to be the salt of the earth. And the place that I want to start is just thinking about salt and thinking about what uses we make of salt in our daily lives. So congregational participation, what do we use salt for? When you think about salt, what is the first thing that comes to mind? And then what is maybe the second and third thing that comes to mind as well?
Taste.
Taste. So we use salt to do something with taste. What does it do to taste? Salt preserves things. Good. Salt sanitizes. It can be useful for cleaning or... It melts ice. Yeah, I thought about that one too. Jesus and his people of his time would not have thought about salt melting ice because ice was something that they had very little experience with. What else do we use salt for?
Fun.
For fun?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Like fun snacks.
Fun snacks, yeah. Like margaritas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie said if she's with the baby right now, the baby didn't sleep much last night, but when I asked her, she said, well, margaritas, so. And potato chips, yes, fun things. Salt can be wonderful. What other, there's one more thing I thought of.
We can't live without it.
We can't live without it.
It also removes stains.
Can remove stains. Water softeners, right? We put salt in our water sometimes to make it soft. Salt was very important in my life growing up in West Michigan as a Dutch American person. Dutch American cuisine is famous for being very bland and boring, and it has very little flavor at all. Okay, there's a joke in Grand Rapids that the Dutch American spice rack. There's actually a store in Grand Rapids that sells Dutch American spice racks. And it's a little wooden rack just big enough to hold salt, pepper, and ketchup. And honestly, growing up, those were pretty much the only things we had flavoring our foods. My dad famously has said he does not like garlic. Okay, my mom never used garlic in cooking. No saffron, no cardamom, very little basil and oregano, salt. If I didn't have salt, I would have been in really bad shape. Well, in Jesus' day, salt was used. The thing that would have come first to mind in people's minds when they thought about salt was preservation. Salt was important for preserving food. Obviously, in Jesus' day, they didn't have refrigeration and they didn't have access to ice and the kind of things that would help preserve food. So preservation was really the first and most important thing that salt would have drawn to people's minds. And ancient commentaries bear this out. I went and I have this great commentary set that has writings from the church fathers. And food, salt in use for food was really the thing that ancient commentators grabbed onto when they were trying to make sense of what Jesus meant when he told the disciples and he told the church, you are the salt of the earth. Origen, famous church father, Origen said that salt kept away decay. Salt keeps away decay. He says it keeps away stench and worms. Isn't that just very illustrative? Stench and worms. Cyril of Alexandria, famous debater in the issues relating to Jesus' divinity and his humanity. Cyril comments on this passage and points out that salt adds goodness and delight to life. Without salt, fish and bread are hardly edible, but with salt, they are delightful and good. And then Hilary. Hilary is a name we usually think of for women, but it used to be a name for men. So I found this quote from someone named Hilary, and I was really excited that I found a church mother to quote from. And then I looked further into it, and Hilary is actually a man. So Hilary points out that salt has this wonderful quality of being able to draw out hidden and mysterious flavors in food. Flavors you wouldn't have known about. Flavors that can go undetected. Salt can bring out these hidden and mysterious flavors. And I think that these three things are the connections that Jesus wants his disciples to think about themselves in their relationship to the world. Preservation, bringing some delight into the world, and helping draw out some of the mysteries of life. Jesus has gathered together his disciples, and he is going to teach them about what it means to be the church. And these are the roles that the church will play in the world. Our world is a broken world. There are troubles and problems and plenty of things in our world that are moving our world towards what Origen called stench and worms, right? There's plenty of things in our world that move our world towards decay. And Jesus is going to train up the disciples, the church, and put them into the world to battle back against decay, to battle back, to help preserve the world, to help preserve the world, to battle back against those forces that move the world towards decay. What about a world full of blandness and sadness and sorrow and fear and hopelessness? A world of dry bread and tasteless fish, right? Jesus is going to give the church to the world in order that the world might be able to find the goodness and the things that are worth delighting in our world. That is part of our role as the church, is to bring about those things that are good, those things that God helps us to realize are beautiful and precious and wonderful about this world. That is part of our role. And what about drawing out something of the hidden and mysterious nature of life? Hilary talks about salt drawing out hidden and mysterious flavors. That too is the role of the church. God's ways are not always simple and clear and straightforward. The nature of love, the nature of service, that it is about self-sacrificial love, that in giving away our lives, we receive our lives. Paul talks about the message of the gospel being foolishness to the world, right? Salt. We are the salt of the earth. We will help to draw out some of these mysterious things, the mysterious nature of the life that God has given us and given to our world. How do we do it? How do we do it? I don't want to step on Nancy's sermon, but we look back. We can look back on the Beatitudes as Jesus' instructions for the disciples as to how it is that they can be and are going to be the salt of the world. In a world full of pride and bombastic people, the church is called upon to be meek and pure in heart. In a world full of violence and posturing towards war and conflict, the church will be merciful. They will show forgiveness and patience, and they will be peacemakers. In a world that is fascinated with being rich and being seen as smart and being seen as self-assured and being seen as important, the church will come before the world and come before God as those who are poor in spirit, not assuming anything about their stature, but poor in spirit, mild, humble, and lowly. In a world that has no interest in putting aside destructive forces like hatred and division and evil, the church will be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In a world full of trouble, the church will stand up for what is right and will be willing to stand up for what is good and true and beautiful and perfect, even if that means being persecuted. So Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." And it is so for us as well and for our world. We are here to try and preserve the world, to preserve it, not to save it. That's God's work, and that's God's work that God will accomplish. But we can help in preserving the world for a time. Salt, refrigeration, cannot keep food forever, nor can we keep the world forever, but God can, and God has promised in the end to come with power and with love. In our time and in our own ways, we can bring some goodness, some beauty, some delight into our world, and we can help draw out those mysterious flavors. I love my mom, I love my grandmothers, but the food that they cooked was very plain. It was. I loved it. There was only one meal that my mom made that I couldn't stand. Everything else I loved. I'll save that for another sermon. But if we had not had salt, how much worse would it have been? So too it is for our world. As much as our lives depend on salt, the goodness, the beauty, the preservation of our world depends upon us being salt for the world. Being salt for the world. It is interesting to me that Jesus doesn't say, if you work hard enough, you will be salt for the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. It is a high calling. But it is a calling that God in power has given to us, and God in power ensures we will be. For God needs us to be the salt of the earth. And so it does not depend upon us, but it depends upon God and God's Spirit and the gifts that God has given us and the power that God has given us and the direction and the inspiration and the provision that God will show us. So let us do it. Let us do our best to be the salt of the earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.